Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Recordings are rolling, Kathy, KY6V.
Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 in Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8, Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net controls this evening are actually twofold. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'll be joined by Gordon KY6B. My location is Vero Beach, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of still 82 degrees with a high of about 87 today, 74% humidity right now, and we are expecting a full moon if it's not too cloudy, but possible thunderstorms. And Gordon will hopefully tell us his weather when he comes aboard. But prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, how about anybody celebrating a birthday either last week or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard? No birthday stations either. Well, this is the Global Family Hour tonight, and the intent of this net is to encourage members of their families and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. Our program for this Saturday evening is trivia. It's a continuation of last month. We do have a lot of information we'd like to share, and we really hope to have just a lot of fun this evening. But I want to advise all stations connected that this net is normally recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. All stations participating will be part of that recording. I want to just make one brief announcement, and that is about the change that took place where we dropped the second hour of the AM connection in the Pacific Coast Net, and we actually changed our Eurasia to the South Cars Saturday Intercontinental Net. And, you know, listening to Slav today, he was doing a fantastic job on saying that, and I almost made a mistake, but it's S-S-I-N. But it was a great success today. Both of the nets ran well over an hour and a half, and we feel that was a great, great decision. But we missed you if you weren't there. But let me drop it here for just one moment. Once again, I want to welcome everyone tonight to our Global Family Hour, where we're going to have some fun tonight. If there's only a few of us talking out there and only a few of us participating, we'll still have a lot of fun. We have some great questions for you, and some of them are really sticklers, so we may want you to be thinking about that. But the program will be very simple in nature. The moderator, which is either myself, Kilo 6 Sierra United November, or Gordon, KY6D, will pick a question or maybe a saying, and we're going to ask the audience if there's anyone who would like to choose the correct answer or maybe explain the meaning or compare that answer to the program material, and then we'll move on to another word or phrase or question. And we always like trivia. We always have a lot of fun, but most of us here tonight want you just simply to enjoy. So, Gordon, looking over my sheet, I see how we did our session last week. It looks like you're actually going to start with a question about Florida. So hopefully we'll have some people come aboard and help out. So with that, Gordon, I'm going to send it to your direction, but maybe you need to go away from that question because I actually gave them the answer to that. But with that, KY6Z, come aboard and start the program this evening.
Oh, my goodness gracious, you spilt the beans. I'll mix up the turf. Hi, Kathy. Good evening, South Cars. Gordon here, KY6V. Central Florida, you know, believe it or not, we're still at 86 degrees, but it's dropping. We expect to wake up in the morning to, if it's early enough, about 68. The humidity's about 53%, so we're doing okay. I would like to say that the Atlantic is nice and clear and pleasant and calm and quiet. We've had a very unusual hurricane season so far this year, and I hope it continues because this is nice. Let me recharge everybody's timers here for a second. I want to tell you a little story about our net manager. I'll bet she's sitting up on the end of her chair with that statement. You know, Kathy is quite a gal. She started off being a legal secretary, which put her in a position where she could really put it together and plant it down on paper. And then she went on to get her teaching credentials and obtained her master's degree in education and became a seasoned high school teacher down here in the state of Florida. And the reason I'm giving you all of this information is that when Kathy puts together a script for one of our programs, she does extensive research and piles page after page in the presentation to be used if and when necessary. This trivia section, let me buy another nickel, she put together a month or so back. You know, our first program on the trivia was, at least this quadrant, was the 14th of September. And she came up with 18 pages. 18 pages of trivia, 378 questions. Now, our first session on the 14th of September only covered 35 of those questions. So I got my Chinese hibiscus out, and I said, okay, if this is going to be the case, 35 per session, 378 questions, we can run this blooming thing 11 or 12 months. We can have a session every month. So we'll probably be covering around 35, maybe 40 here tonight. I don't know. Depends on how it goes. All right, everybody, stand a toot. We're going to have some fun here tonight. The way that Kathy and I run this is we take maybe four or five questions for each of us, and we parley the audience on that, and then we switch over to the other, and if I start it, Kathy picks up the next section, and we bebop like that through the program of the evening. So let me buy everybody's nickels. This is KY6V for South Cars. All right, the first question tonight is not the question that Kathy's already given you the answer to. I'm going to say, what is the smallest U.S. state? Is it Delaware? Is it Maryland? Is it Rhode Island? Or is it Maine? I'll read that again. What is the smallest U.S. state? Is it Delaware, Maryland, Rhode Island, or Maine? Any takers on that? Suffixes only, and call now, please. KY6V for South Cars.
RMO.
Oh, I don't know if I ought to put you up first. Hello, Gary. you know, before you answer the question, how'd you like my ad lib on Kathy? Go ahead, sir.
I did. I loved it, actually. And I was, you know, it was really funny because, you know, I have, now, just for the folks, for the sake of the folks that are listening, I'm backing up tonight. So I have a copy of the script. I am not looking at the questions, okay? I'm not looking at the questions, and I don't have the, I have the answers, but I'm not looking at them. That's what I'm trying to say. So, yeah, I can't read them anyway. So, keeping that in mind, I knew it was a long script. I knew that there was, you know, this was a substantial script from the last time. And when you started talking about Kath being a legal secretary and her background that way, I said, I bet he's going to say it's an 18-page script. And sure enough, you did. It was great. It was absolutely awesome. So how are you tonight, sir? It's good to hear your voice.
Just peachy keen. It's been a good day in the state of Florida. It's been a good day for South Cars, Gary. Okay, I heard that nice giggle out of Stephanie in the back. So either one of you want to answer this question. What is the smallest U.S. state? Over.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and, first of all, did you know that I knew a guy from Rhode Island that was a communist, and he was a Rhode Island Red. But, so I'm going to say, I like that. I'm going to say Rhode Island. Now let's go over here to Miss Pegleg. Peg, what's your guess?
I don't think it's Maine. Maine is pretty big, actually, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have any idea what it would be.
So your choices are Delaware, Rhode Island, Maine, and Maryland. Okay.
I really don't have any idea. What did you say?
I said Rhode Island.
All right, I'm going to say... let's see. I'll pick Delaware.
Okay, so Steph says Delaware, I say Rhode Island. And I'm sticking to it. So it's KC2 RMO going back to the net.
Wasn't sure you're going to let loose of the rope. Hey, thank you, you two. Next time around, Steph, we need to get you a little closer to Gary there and the microphone that you're sharing so that we can hear you direct and he doesn't have to relay the information in. All right, we've got Delaware from Stephanie. We've got Rhode Island from Gary. Anybody else want to take a shot at this one, please? KY6V, over.
Yeah, Victor X-Ray Papa.
Yeah, I saw you in there, Mr. Ohio. Great. Was hoping you'd jump in. Go ahead, Rick, over.
Definitely have to agree, Rhode Island. I think some people would think Delaware, but I think definitely Rhode Island. Actually living in New England, I remember that also in my geography in school.
All right, we've got two for Rhode Island and one for Delaware. Anybody else, please? All right, you and Gary, Rick. Rick and Gary go to the head of the class. Rhode Island is the answer. But you'll dazzle us with the next one or two or three, I'm sure. Stephanie, thank you. Next question in line is, how long is the Hundred Years' War, or how long is the Hundred Years' War last? That is not typed correctly. Kathy, how long was the Hundred Year War, or how long did it last, or something? At any rate, the answers to this is 86 years, 99 years, 100 years, or 116. How long is the 100 years war last? 86 years, 99 years, 100 years, or 116? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Call now, please.
RMO.
Hey, Stephanie, take that script away from them. Let them shoot from the hip. But go ahead, Gary, over.
I have it hidden. I did have it hidden. I had a window. I had my control window up over it. There, now you can see it. And I don't know the answer, so I'm going to guess, because it seemed to me, this is really a good question, because I haven't heard of the Hundred Years' War, gosh, since junior high school. and I can't remember, my first instinct was to say that it was longer than 100 years. But I'm going to say maybe it wasn't. Now I'm having my doubts. And because I've concealed the answers, I can't see. So I'm going to say, I'm just going to go with my gut instinct here, and I'm going to say it was not quite 100 years, so I'm going to say 86 years, that it fell short of 100. Sometimes it was either longer or shorter, but I'm going to go on the short end of things, and we'll say 86 years. Let me buy a nickel. Let's see if Peg has an answer here.
I cannot answer because I saw the answer.
You saw the answer. Okay. So for the sake of honesty, she's going to decline, but I'm going to say 86 years, and we'll turn it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right. Thanks for that, Gary. Stephanie, I'm going to give you another insight. I don't know if you saw the admin text box where Gary and I and Kathy were talking back and forth. And we got talking about Peg Leg, and all of a sudden he's calling you Peg. And you better be careful, Gary, or you're not going to get a Peg Leg. You're going to get a rolling pin cruising across as a missile here pretty quick. All right. Again, the question was, how long is the 100 Years' War to last, or how long did it last? The possible questions or answers are 86, 99, 100, and 116 years. Anybody else like to take a shot at this? Over.
One India.
The Ivory Man. A couple of weeks, I hear. Congratulations, sir. Go ahead, Paul. Over.
Thank you, Gordon, very much. Appreciate it. I don't know. I'm going to go with the 116, though. I don't have a script, so I think I remember this question from Annette maybe a year or two ago, but I'm going with 116, so, and I'm sticking with it. Hi, everybody else. WQ1I.
Thanks for that, Paul. All right, Paul's coming in with 116. We have an abstaining situation with Stephanie, and we've got 86 years out of Gary. Anybody else, please?
VXP.
All right, Mr. Ohio, go ahead, Rick.
Oh, definitely have to agree. 116. I remember this in my senior high school. Definitely had history, and some of the questions are quite familiar, even though it's been 44 years.
Okay. We got a 116 out of Rick. Anybody else, please? All right, the 116s are the winner. That would be Paul and Rick. 86 will not do it, and we had a sustain out of Stephanie. You know, I hated history with a passion when I was in high school. And I'm sorry to say that, Kathy. I know that you're a history teacher amongst other subjects as well. But the only thing I came out of high school with was that it was longer than 100 years. And you're right, Paul. We've run some of these questions in previous years as a trivia, and this was one of them. Okay, I'm going to take two more, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kathy. The next question here is, about one-tenth of Earth's surface is permanently covered with what? Let me read that again. About one-tenth of Earth's surface is permanently covered with what? Possible answers are ice, mountains, water, desert. Who wants to take a shot at this one? KY6V.
One India.
This is not fair. You're a chemist. Go ahead, Paul. Over.
Gordon, never underestimate my ignorance. So, you know, chemist or not. No, I'm just going to guess. I don't know. I'm going to guess ice. But with any of those answers, I have a real problem with the word permanently, because I don't think anything is going to qualify in the history and the lifespan of this planet as permanently, but I'll take it in the spirit of which it was given. So I'm going to go with ice.
Well, thanks for that, Paul. KY6V here for South Cards. And that's very astute, particularly with all of this hush-push that's going on with global warming and everything changing dramatically as we move forward. So, Kathy, if you're going to use any of these questions in the future, you might want to strict permanently out of the question. All right. Paul's coming in with ice. Anybody else, please? Over.
RMO.
With the computer turned off. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, I'm going to throw a few cubes in there and agree with Paul. So we'll say ice.
Okay. How's Peg doing? What does she have an entry on this one?
Well, here's Peg. Oh, by the way, I just want to explain Peg Leg. All right, Peg Leg is one of my aliases, one of my pet names for my beautiful wife here.
A lovely name.
So she's my Peg. She's my Peg.
It is one of the better names he has for me.
Yeah, there are a few. But would you care to venture, I guess? Would you say ice?
I would have, yes, ice.
All right, so Peg's saying ice, too. This is KC2RMO back to the net.
Very good. Okay, and what, so far it's going with ice. Anybody else, please? All right. All of you just go right up to center stage and take a bow. Ice is the proper answer. Permanently is a question mark, but so far, that's it. All right, I've got one more, and then Kathy, stand tall, please. Lake Okeechobee is located in what U.S. state? Let me read that again. Lake Okeechobee is located in what U.S. state? Wyoming, Florida, Oklahoma, or Texas? Answers, please. Call now.
RMO.
Mr. Syracuse, go ahead, sir.
I'm going to say Cleveland. No, wait a minute. I may have to say Florida, of course, you know. I mean, it is doubtful that in West Palm Beach there would be such a magnificent organization as the Okeechobee Steakhouse and not have it named after a lake in Florida. Just by virtue of the fact that it's probably the best steak I ever had in my life, I have to conclude that it is in Florida. This is KC2R, and it is. It's just an amazing steak. KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right, I got a comment on that, but I'm going to reserve it. Thanks, Gary. Stephanie, any choices on your part, please?
Florida.
I don't know if you can't come up with it.
It's in Florida.
So that's she's saying it's in Florida, and we're going back to the net.
Yeah, I'm copying her very well. You're not right on mic, but you're loud enough we're not having any trouble copying you at all, Stephanie. All right, we have two for Florida. The answers were Wyoming, Florida, Oklahoma, and Texas. Anybody else?
VXP.
I think you know more about the states than any of us, Rick, and that's great. Go ahead, sir.
Maybe not as much as you think, but I also agree, Florida. I went through that area quite a few years ago, and I do remember that.
All right, very good. We've got three entries for Florida. Anybody else, please? All right, you're all correct. And Lake Okeechobee is not very far away from you, Kathy. I don't know what it is in mileage, but it's probably not more than 35, 40 miles, I would guess, at least the northern side from Vero Beach. But it's a great lake. It's also a great boating lake. It has a tributary, a passage avenue, if you will, from the east coast to the west coast of Florida. You can come into Lake Okeechobee off the international boat lanes, if you will. You travel about 30 miles, as I recall, across the lake, and you come out on the west side, and then you go through a series of locks that drops you down into the elevation of the western side of Florida and puts you out in depending on which way you're heading, but it'll head you out into the Gulf if you desire to do so. So good choice. All right, Ms. Kathy, you take the next round here, if you would be so kind. K6SUN from KY6V.
Well, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. It will be my pleasure, but you know, I'm not sure my questions will be as interesting as yours. And everyone, when I turned it over to Gordon and said the very first questions about Florida, it was actually about Lake Okeechobee, not too far from my location. And Paul, I think when you came down to visit, you probably may have been familiar with the lake or seen it on a map, but also very close to my school, one of the schools I teach at, is Okeechobee Road. So a lot in the state of, in my area, is named after Okeechobee. Well, we're going to go to other countries now, not so much with the states, but I'm glad everyone liked the question about the Hundred Years' War. And as far as the one-tenth of Earth's surface, we're thinking just about one-tenth of the surface, you know, so maybe part of that surface is permanently. But I didn't make up these questions, Gordon. I actually took them from history books and history sites, and so it's not from me. It is from resources. And Gary wanted to tell you about Paul has put in the text box about his new gift he's bought himself, a Yamaha U3, and maybe at some point he'll explain. Let me drop it here for just a moment, and I'm going to come up with the very first question, and we're going to go all the way over to Venice, Italy with this one. But let me buy a nickel. All right, my very first question reads, gondolas in Venice, Italy must all be painted this color unless they belong to a high official. You know what gondolas are, and you know where Venice, Italy is. So back in history, or maybe just watching movies, think of when you've seen these gondolas. So gondolas in Venice, Italy must all be painted this color unless they belong to a high official. And the colors are black, white, red, or blue. Black, white, red, or blue. So do I have any takers on this question?
RMO.
All right, Mr. RMO, and then I'm going to ask your lovely wife, too, and I'm not going to call her Peg. I will just call her your lovely wife. So, what is your choice here? Is it black, white, red, or blue?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I'm just kind of sitting here thinking, you know, I'm trying to envision a gondola. And I don't ever recall, at least in my mind's eye, of them being brightly colored. If for some reason I can picture multicolored gondolas, and maybe that's for the big shots. But I kind of think I'm going to go with black. Yeah. I'm going to say black, that if you're just a regular Giuseppe, you know, your gondola is going to be black. It's kind of like a Model T gondola. So we'll ask Peg here.
Black, I was going to say.
Okay, so she's saying black too. So two for black on the gondolas, and we'll see how we fare. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right, it looks like the Agnew family both have said black. Let's see if we have anyone else with the same color or maybe a different one. So does anyone else want to take a stab at this question about the gondolas in Venice, Italy? Black, white, red, or blue? Any other takers?
ZXP.
All right, Mr. Rick. What is your choice? Do you think they're colorful, or maybe they're black, like the Agnews have said? You know, they must all be painted this color unless you're that high official. So what's your choice, Rick? And once again, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November with our Global Family Hour trivia. So, Rick, what's your choice?
Well, I think if they are high officials, they can paint them any color they want. But otherwise, they have to be black.
All right, I'm actually going to go with all three of you, and actually the right answer is black. But I would have liked to have had it either red or blue. It's probably more visible in the sunlight if it would be a different color. But you're all correct. With black being gondolas, must be painted this color, unless you're this high official. And I agree with you, Rick. If you're a high official, you can paint it whatever color you'd like it to be. So my next question is about a country. This country is the largest island in the world. Now, thinking of the maps and thinking of the globes, we're looking at an island. So this country is the largest island in the world. And your choices are Greenland, Australia, Iceland, or Antarctica. Once again, Greenland, Australia, Iceland, or Antarctica. So any takers on this? Maybe this is an easy one. Maybe this is a hard one. But how about any takers coming aboard?
RMO.
All right. Thank you, Gary. But before I call on you, I'm going to call on Miss Stephanie and see what her choice is. So, Miss Stephanie, as an educator, one who's probably had history in some of those courses, tell me, what is the largest island in the world? Is it Greenland, Australia, Iceland, or Antarctica? And I know you don't have the answer, so maybe it's just a guess, or maybe you remember studying it. So, Steffi, what's your choice?
Okay, well, first of all, I have to say I'm right there with Gordon, agreeing with him on my love for history. I absolutely hate it. and I don't know anything about history, but I'm going to take a guess and say Australia.
All right, so Peg's got one in there for Australia.
All right, I'll put her down for Australia. You guys, you know, I'm a history teacher. You're not supposed to be saying you don't like history, but I know there's someone else connected tonight that doesn't like history either. If you would have told me years back I'd be a history teacher, I'd probably tell you no, because I actually didn't like history either. But it is an interesting subject, and there's so many things you can do with history. So, Mr. Gary, what is your choice?
Well, now, here's the thing. I want to clarify my stand on history, because I really like it.
There wasn't any history when you were growing up.
I followed history through the course of history, you know. So I am history. But I like history. I have always liked history. The only thing I didn't like was we used to have to take New York State history, like in 7th and 8th grade. And we had so many battles in the Revolutionary War, and they were all... I just had terrible history teachers. They made it so boring, and you had to remember dates and names. And that, and European history, like, you know, this king in 1500, you know, killed this guy, and nobody cared, you know, that sort of thing. But that was kind of boring. But I do love... anything post-industrial revolution, I really love, and American history in the 20th and 21st century, you know, I think is really great. So those are the things I like. But anywho, getting back to island nations. My guess is that it's Greenland. Because none of the others, I believe, are you know, would qualify for being the largest. So I'm gonna go with Greenland, and we'll see how we fare here historically. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right, thank you so much, Gary and Stephanie. And Stephanie doesn't like history, and you don't like history way back. You do like the current history, but I will tell you that from my students in teaching in the past is that you've got to make it interesting, and learning the dates, what happened in 1562 and 900 BC is not going to interest those children. And I think I've heard from some of the children even now that they are told they have to memorize these dates, or they have to memorize this certain individual. But there are certain ways that a very good history teacher can make it way interesting, and there's so much out there now that will make it more interesting. Well, I have one vote for Australia and one for Greenland. Let's see, is there anyone else out there maybe has the same answer or another answer, or maybe is a history buff, and then I know, Rick, you are, or maybe someone else who doesn't like history but would like to take a shot at this. So how about anybody else out there that would like to take a try at this one? And once again, the question is, this country is the largest island in the world. Greenland, Australia, Iceland, and Antarctica. Anybody else want to give their clue out to the net this evening?
One India.
Looks like I did it again. And ZXP.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And Paul, I know you're one that does not like history. I remember the stories we've heard in the past. But maybe this is an interesting question and an interesting answer for you. And so what is your choice before I go on to Mr. Rick? Paul, One India, thank you for being here tonight and having such an interesting day. But tell me your answer. Maybe you'd like to share with us about your stories about history as well.
One India. Kathy, you're a pick. okay. So I love and respect all of you, but so nothing nasty or mean or anything about this, but I must say, to me, I love all the talk about who hates history and who doesn't, when actually, to me, this is a geography question, not a history question. I'm going to go with Australia. I really don't know about the Greenland and the Iceland. Antarctica, I don't think it's a country. I think it's just a continent. So I'm going to go with Australia, and I really don't know. And yes, Kathy, and I'd like to clarify that. I couldn't stand history when I was in high school. In fact, I almost didn't graduate high school because I failed a history class. And that's the story you're thinking about. And an English teacher saved me by seeing my name on a list somewhere and calling my father, who then woke me up at like 7 o'clock in the morning to take me to this private summer school, because summer school in Philadelphia had already started. Oh, God, what I put my parents through. So, anywho, but since then, I had a teacher. It was one of these classes in college where, you know, you have to take it. I was only interested in taking science classes, but I was at a school where you have to take some Common Core classes. Let me drop it. And so kicking and screaming, I took this class in Chinese cultures. And I had this guy who was the most amazing professor I ever had. The guy was so good, and he made the topic so interesting. He worked our butts off, too. I had to literally read two books, you know, with all my other curriculum going, just for his class. But he was so good that later on I actually signed up for American history with him just because I wanted to take it with him teaching it, and he was amazing. And I have since learned that I actually do like history. I just like reading books about it, not going to classes. There's a book about the Battle of Gettysburg, The Something Angels, I forgot already, which is a fantastic book, and a book about Lewis and Clark that I read not long ago, Undaunted Courage or something like that. Fantastic stuff. So that's how I like history. Reading it in books. Back to Matt, WQ19. That was Australia.
Well, Paul, I hope that you're, because I don't think you're at home, because I know you don't have a puppy, so maybe you're at Jessica's. And I think I heard her laughing in the background with the, and when you called me, that I was a hoot. But I remember this story from the very first time we talked about history. And you know, I am glad it took an English teacher to bring you to summer school and that you enjoyed history. But it does take that special teacher to interest you in some other courses. And like you said, U.S. history, reading some of the books, you know, not just going through a book and doing worksheets and doing this and that and taking tests, but actually maybe relaying some of the nice information, seeing some nice films on it. So history can, you can do a lot with history. versus probably English. But I didn't mean to say that to you tonight, but I thought it would give you a little chuckle. So we all have some of those crosses to bear. I probably even had them, but my memory is gone at this point. But a country that is the largest island in the world is actually Greenland. But I missed you, VXP, and I'm going to come back and pick you up and see what your answer was before I go on any further. N1 VXP, I sorry you spilled the beans, but maybe you'd like to come aboard and see what your answer was.
This is N1 VXP. Actually, my first thought was Australia, but then I said, wait a minute, Greenland. I don't know if everybody knows the how the name Greenland became, but I vaguely remember something about when somebody discovered it, did not want anybody to really get liking the country itself, and kind of misnamed the land. It was actually started out green, but it became really rough climate, and it was kind of a way to, if I'm not mistaken, it was something to do with Iceland and Greenland, but Greenland is definitely the largest.
All right, thank you, Rick and Gary and Stephanie and Paul. Thank you for your answers, and thank you for your participation. And I see that in the text box, Paul. I'm going to actually look that up. I don't get too much time to read, probably more than I did have at the beginning of my school year. I don't think I had enough time even to breathe during that first couple of weeks, but my time is a little more free now. And so, you know, it sounds like some interesting books that are out there on history, because I know the children don't like history, what they're working on now. But I think what current history is, I think probably more so. So thank you, ladies and one gentleman, for coming aboard with those answers. Now, this is another one we have. I have two more questions, Gordon, and then I'm going to throw it back over to you. This is a country as well. This country is the only country that is also a continent. So think of continents and countries, and I think, Paul, you said something about this. This country is the only country that is also a continent. We have Australia, we have Greenland, we have Iceland, and we have Antarctica again. Same four choices. But now we're looking at the country that's also a continent. So let me throw it out there once again to see if we can get any special check-ins this evening to either take a stab at it or maybe they know the correct answer. So check-ins, please.
One India.
And RMO.
And VXP.
Very good. Gentlemen, and we do have one lady out there that's also helping. Thank you so much for making this such a special evening for Gordon and I. So, Mr. One India, what is your choice here? What's the country that's also a continent? Australia, Greenland, Iceland, and Antarctica. And you may want to answer the question about the puppy I heard in the background. Maybe tell us about the little dog. It was a special little voice we heard. So what, India, come aboard.
Yeah, very special. And yeah, you're correct. That's Jessica laughing. She hardly ever laughs. She's hardly ever not laughing, actually. Anyway, so yes, there's another lady on board here tonight, and she actually has supplied an answer for this. But that's her pup. That's Lila. She's some kind of little mixed breed, and yips and yaps at the slightest noise, whether you're cooking dinner or you name it. But she's cute. She's a nice puppy. So you got Lila, and you have Jessica's daughter Lulu. So Lulu, Lila, Jessica, myself, got the whole crew here tonight. And I'm going to stick with Australia, pretty much for the reasons I stated in my previous answer, because I didn't think Antarctica was a question. It was a country. It was just a continent. But Jessica disagrees, so we have disagreement in the ranks here. So Jessica's going to put in a vote for Antarctica. So there you go, Kathy. Here's my story, and I'm sticking with it. WQ1I.
Well, Paul, it sounds like you and Jessica and Lila and Lulu, I think you said. Very interesting names. I'm not sure if I've heard either of the L names. But you're laughing just as much, Jessica, as Stephanie is in the background. So you can be third party traffic as well as the puppy and as well as your daughter. You can come aboard at any time because we have a lot of fun doing our trivia nets, and we welcome third-party traffic. Okay, I have Australia from Mr. Paul. And once again, thank you so much, Paul, this morning. I enjoyed our session together, and actually our brand-new net went just as long as we did this morning. It was a fantastic day of nets. Mr. RMO, I'm going to call on you first and see what you have. Country, the only country that's also a continent. And we're looking at those same choices, Australia, Greenland, Iceland, and Antarctica. So, Gary, what's your choice?
Well, I'm going to agree with my fellow brother, Mystic Knight of the Sea, in that it is Australia. And for the same reasons, too. I was sitting there thinking, I said, well, Antarctica isn't a country. As far as I know, I don't believe there's a government of Antarctica, but there sure is, obviously, of Australia. So I'm gonna go with Australia. I think there may be some dissension in the ranks here at 121 Tasia as well.
I'm so confused. I was going to say Australia, I think. Wasn't that my
original answer? You started out by saying that, and then you decided to go with Antarctica.
I was going to say Antarctica, but then I was listening to Paul and Jessica, and one of them, Paul was saying, I think, that Antarctica is not a country.
Right.
He was agreeing with you.
Right.
He didn't know he was.
Yeah.
But he was.
At that time, yeah.
So, I don't know what to say. I guess I'm back to Australia.
Flip a coin. You're going to go with Australia? Okay.
I guess so.
All right. So it's two for Australia here from the Agnew household. And we'll stand by that one. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right. Thank you, both of you. You know, I would never want to live in Iceland or Antarctica, but I believe they are countries. They are on our globes and our maps, but you may want to check that out. You know, I may be wrong, but they are also countries. But who would want to live in Antarctica or Iceland, for that matter? But according to you, Gary, Syracuse is very close, so you may want to live there. So we have three choices for Australia. VXP, maybe you can make a different choice, or maybe the same, but what is your choice here of the country that's also a continent? N1VXP from Ohio, which is probably getting close to feeling like Antarctica up there. What's your choice here this evening?
This is N1VXP. I like the way you had that question. Country and island. I vaguely remember something about Antarctica as having multiple nations that claim on the property. So I'm going to have to go with Australia. And yes, we're under a frost advisory tonight. Probably the first one. And it's going to be around 30. They're saying low of 34, but with that frost advisory for like 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. Definitely going to be quite chilly out there. And 1TXP back to net control.
Well, all I've got to say, Rick, I'm glad it's up there and not down here. But I did see something on the news or read it in the paper that we're going to be expecting lower temperatures than normal. I remember years back before I moved to Florida, the citrus crop was destroyed by very low temps. But I think I was listening to Duff. I think it was our new net, our intercontinental net. He's from, I believe, Wisconsin. And he said something about expecting the first snow this evening. So you guys up there, keep this cold weather up in your area. So I had four choices here for Australia. So I'm going to actually tell you that is the correct answer. But guys and ladies, check out about Antarctica, whether it's a country, it is a continent, and, you know, understand what an island is. You know, island, I believe the definition will be that it's surrounded by water. So maybe check that out and let me know. I may be wrong on that, but like I said, I've taken these from history books. So let me drop it here, and this is my final question for this series, Gordon, and then I'm going to throw it to you. All right, my last question here. We're going to talk about water, and we're going to talk about oceans. So 46% of the world's water is in this ocean. Now, Paul and I are along one ocean. I don't think we have anyone else along some of these other oceans. But 46% of the world's water is in this ocean. The choices are the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic, the Indian, and the Arctic. Once again, 46% of the world's water is in this ocean. Pacific, Atlantic, Indian, and Arctic. Okay, guys and gals, come aboard. Give me your chances or your choices here. And once again, both of the household with the third-party traffic, they are welcome to come aboard. So how about some check-ins at this point?
RMO?
6, Victor.
All right, I have 2 check-ins at this point, and then before I give you the correct answer, I'll actually throw it out there once again. Mr. RMO, once again, I'm going to call on your lovely wife, Stephanie, and I don't want to call her Peg because that's not the name I know her as, but let's see what her choices are. 46% of the world's water is in this ocean. So, Miss Stephanie, what is your choice here?
I almost sneezed. I caught her just in time. She's looking at me like, what? Actually, Miss Wag will do. So what would your choice be?
This would be another one of those history / geography questions.
More geography.
Yes, I don't like either one.
Take your best shot.
I only like math and English. I'm going to guess Pacific. But I really have absolutely no clue.
All right, there's a no clue guess for Pacific, and we'll piggyback this one. I guess why not? We'll be efficient on this one. I'm going to say that it's that great big body of water that's blue and has waves that crash up against the shore, and gorgeous sunrises and sunsets. Come on, Gary, be specific. All right, it's the Pacific Ocean. So we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, Mr. Gary, you must have had an interesting, relaxing day doing all that coursework and work on the house. You're so funny whenever you do a net. But actually, you've been on both of the Pacific and the Atlantic, so you should have an idea. But, it is sort of geography, but, you know, geography, ladies and gentlemen, is part of what we call social science. So it's history is part of geography. And Paul, actually, the answer was Australia, so you were right. I'm sorry, Lila was barking at the time that I came back with the answer, but you should have her check in. You know, maybe she can come up with the answer in bark terms. So, Gary and Stephanie say it is the Pacific. Next one I have, I believe, is Mr. Six Victor. So, what is your choice here, Mr. Gordon? And you actually know the answer, but you've lived on both oceans, Pacific and Atlantic. Maybe you've been to Indian and Arctic. So, what's your comments here this evening, KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November?
Well, thanks, Kathy. No, I've never lived or visited the Indian Ocean or been in the Arctic. I guess Antarctic, the closest I got, I did visit Sydney, Australia. But I've known this since I was a kid. I don't have to look at your script. You know, I was born in the Hawaiian Islands, and I was raised in California. And out of your 4 choices, I'm going to say the Pacific Ocean. Remember this, Kathy. that you bear a six call in amateur radio, and so do I. And that ought to give you a lead right there. KY6V, over.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. Gordon. And actually, I've spent a lot of time out there in the Pacific Ocean. Didn't go out on the ocean too much. I've been out in the Atlantic. I'm not sure. I actually think the Atlantic is colder than Pacific, but I may be wrong there. I've never been to the Indian or the Arctic. You know, before I throw out some comments with this, is there anyone else that would like to come aboard and make their choice on the answers or any comments about any of the oceans? So I'm going to throw it out there before I come back with the answer. Anybody else like to come aboard at this point?
One India.
VXP.
All right, super. Mr. One India, and I like I told you, it was Australia with the puppy barking. But, you know, any time that, I think you said Lulu and Jessica want to come aboard, we've been listening to them laugh in the background. But I'm glad that you came aboard this evening and that you have your radio open so the beautiful ladies can hear it. So, Mr. One India, what's your choice here, or maybe what's your comment?
Well, my comment, or actually question, is what the heck is Gary drinking tonight? On that last question, he said he's going to agree with me, and he referred to me as his comrade Australian. I don't even know what the heck he said, but it was strange. I don't know. I just don't know. But as to this question, I'm going with Pacific, and the Pacific Ocean is just, I mean, it's ridiculously large. There are angles of, you know, you can take a picture from the Earth from outer space, and you're in the right spot, all you see is blue. You're not going to almost see any land whatsoever. And you can experience the same thing just by looking at a globe, which is not quite as exciting, but it's huge. It is absolutely huge. So I think it dwarfs all others, as a matter of fact, by a long shot. So there's my very long-winded answer from Gary's comrade, boatmaster, Australia. I don't even know what he said. Back to Nat.
Well, Paul, sometimes we don't know what Gary says, and, you know, his lovely wife wonders at times, too. But, you know, he always keeps our nets going with this humor. And he said that it was corn squeezins, and he actually wants to come aboard with a clarification on what he said. So I thought he said comrade in arms, but I'm not sure. But you know about Russell in the morning where he says Kaiwabunga and surfs up. So Gary is just following right along with that, and he's not there in the morning. I think Paul got himself bounced off, so he didn't hear a word I said. So with that, before I call on you, Gary, and we have to wait for Paul to come back aboard. I think he lost connection. VXP, what's your choice of an answer here?
N1 VXP. I definitely agree, Pacific. And definitely maybe the largest, but it's also the deepest. And I do remember that in school, that some parts are probably colder than the Atlantic. N1 VXP, back to net control.
All right, I will actually tell each and every one of you that you are correct. You know, I've spent time out in Oregon and Washington. Gordon has spent some of his childhood, I believe, and adulthood in California, so he's been familiar with the Pacific. Gary and his lovely wife went out there to the Pacific. But I do want to say, look at a globe, look at an atlas, and you will see just what Paul was talking about, the massive amount of water. And I'm not sure if Paul lost his connection or he had a storm there, but he has bounced off, but I see him back on now. So the correct answer, Paul, I see you back on, is the Pacific Ocean. But Mr. Gary wants to clarify what he was calling you, so I'm going to actually call his direction, Gordon. before I throw it over to you. So, Gary, KC2RMO, I see Paul's back aboard. Maybe you'd like to clarify what you called him or what you two are. Please come aboard.
Well, I don't want to appear stranger than I usually do, which is, I don't know if it's possible, but the reference there was to Paul in that particular case, but actually to all of us here in South Cars as a general reference, and if you're of a certain age, you'll know what I'm talking about, to that great fraternity, the Mystic Knights of the Sea. And if anybody would know, Gordon would know. So we'll leave it with that. So Paul and I and all of us are members of this great fraternity, the Mystic Knights of the Sea, a.k.a. South Cars, if that makes sense. I'll turn it back to the net.
All right, Gary, thank you for that. But I can't be a knight. I must be a knighty, Mystic Knighty of the Sea. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for contributing to my session. And I'm going to actually throw it over to Gordon so he can come aboard with his questions and his choices. And I hope you have as much fun as I had during my session, Gordon, and I know you will. So with that, let me throw it your direction, Gordon. I'm not sure if Paul has a question in the text box. He's got a lot of question marks down there, so you may want to throw it his direction before you begin. KY6B from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Very good. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, everybody. We're 7 minutes into the second hour here and just doing great. A couple of comments before we go into my series of questions. Mystic Knights of the Sea. You know, when I was in Uncle Sam's Navy Canoe Club, I traveled over the 180th meridian, Gary, and I think that's a question mark that Paul is bringing up here. I'm going to send it to you next, Paul. When I traveled over the 180th meridian, the day changed and all sort of things happened, and I was honored with a certificate of being a member of the Golden Dragon. The Golden Dragon, the mystics of the Knights at Sea. What is your question mark there, Paul? KY6V, over. Okay. One more time here. See, you're still connected. Paul, you had a question mark in the text box, please. Over.
Yes, I did. You know, it's been one of those nights. Just as you were going to go to me, my phone rang, and it was somebody I'd been trying to get a hold of for a while. So, yeah, the question marks were really for Gary's explanation of the Mystic Knights. It didn't really help. It didn't really help. But that's okay. What I thought you all might find amusing was, while I'm sitting here asking, what the heck is Gary drinking, when I was finished with my comments, instead of hitting the button that takes me back to net, I hit the button that turns off the app. So that's where I went. And anybody who's done this on an iPad knows that it can take a few minutes before you can get back on again. So maybe I should worry about my own sobriety and stop questioning Gary's. Back to you, Gordon, WQ1I.
I've worn those moccasins. Thanks, Paul. All right, KY6V here for South Cars. Before we go into the next section here of questions, I wanted to make a couple of comments. Gary and Stephanie, I still stand very strong that I hated history, and I'm sorry to say that, Kathy, at least when I was in high school. I had a history teacher that looked exactly, identically, like Mr. Peepers. Now, I don't know if a lot of you people remember what he looked like, but he was lean and sort of feeble-looking and had big horn-rim glasses and all of that kind of stuff. And he'd get upset from time to time with the history class that he was trying to teach because everybody was appearing to be unfocused. And I think that was probably a truism. And he'd pick up one of these blackboard erasers and sling it out into the class. I mean, he'd really throw it. He'd probably make a pretty good baseball pitcher. And he'd plow in that racer into somebody that was had fell asleep. And I might add that hit me a couple of times. Let me buy a nickel. Talk about crazy teachers, Kathy. I had an algebra teacher in high school. It was a little similar to Mr. Peepers. He didn't use chalkboard erasers. He had a couple of cap guns in his desk. And when the class got unfocused and half of them were asleep, he'd reach in and pull those cap guns out and start firing them. I'll tell you what. I could write a book on all of this. Okay, we're going to go in some questions here. Stand by for a moment. I'll recharge everybody's timers, and we'll get going. KY6V for South Car. Okay, the next question on the block here, guys and gals. This state is the only U.S. state that grows coffee. Paul was talking about coffee and getting off of it this morning. This state is the only U.S. state that grows coffee. Your multiple choice here is California, Florida, Texas, and Hawaii. Anybody would like to tangle this one? Call now, please.
RMO.
We've got you, Mr. Syracuse. Anybody else, please? I see some doubling in there. Were you trying to get in also, Rick, VXP, please?
I thought I'd get in. N1VXP, I didn't see myself doubling.
All right, we've got VXP and starting off with RMO. Anybody else? Okay, 2x2. This state is the only U.S. state that grows coffee. California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii. Gary, go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, sir. And before I forget, you know, while we were on the topic of history or history being hard to take or you know, sometimes history being made boring. If you really want to see history become extremely fascinating, this guy is like one of my favorite people, and he's been a favorite of mine, gee whiz, I'm going to say for 40 years, which is kind of hard to believe that show is that old, but it's around there anyway. Get on Google and type in James Burke, B-U-R-K-E, and then connections after that. And he does things like traces how some guy back in 1300, you know, fixes a door, and that learned that the chain of events leads to, you know, like the invention of the atomic bomb or something like that. It's just it's crazy how he threads all these things together, but it's really fascinating and it's great history. So check that out. It's James Burke and Connections. As far as the coffee goes, let me buy a nickel. Yeah, as I drink some right now because I have my cup going here. I was originally going to say California, but I'm not going to go with that because it seems to me somewhere along the line I had heard of Hawaiian coffee that the climate produces a really good coffee. So I'm gonna say Hawaii for whatever reason. Life unit, what do you say? What do you say? You're off mic. You got to get over here. You
gotta, I was gonna say Georgia, but that wasn't an option.
It's not an option.
Cuba?
No, Cuba's not a state. You know.
I really don't have any idea. I really don't have a clue.
Okay, so I'm saying Hawaii and no idea. Or ID. You have no idea.
I have ID.
She has ID, so we can prove who she is. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right, thank you, you too. Hey, Stephanie, you're thinking of the Georgia peaches. I'll leave it at that. Gary's coming in with the Hawaiian Islands. Anybody else like to take a take on this, please? Over. Okay. I'm not hearing anybody else, but VXP, I think you were in there, Rick. Go ahead, sir.
This is N1GXP. You mentioned about a history teacher. I had the exact same teacher, probably, in my eighth grade. And he had a rubber chalkboard eraser that he always soaked in water, very heavy, before the class began. Had it right up on the tray on the chalkboard. And I got hit once, and I said, that's it, never again. But he would make us take the eraser and rinse it out in the sink and make sure it was full of water when it came back in. If it wasn't, we had to go back and do it again. But he wanted it fully saturated with water for the next person. I definitely have to go with Hawaii. I have had Hawaiian coffee and definitely like it, but don't quite like the price on it. N1GXP back to net control.
Boy, that's sure true on the price, Rick. Right on. You know, I had a double whammy when I was in high school. My band teacher, who was really a gifted musician, but he had a short fuse. And he used those erasers, too, to get somebody straightened up that was singing the wrong tune. All right, we've got Hawaii from, actually that's pronounced Hawaii, incidentally, to be politically correct. The W's in the Hawaiian language are pronounced as a V instead of a W. We've got one from Gary and one from Rick. Anybody else, please?
Sierra United November.
Now there's a lady that would like to go to Hawaii. Go ahead, Kathy.
You are so correct. I wasn't going to make a choice on the coffee because I really have no clue. I don't know if I've ever tasted Hawaiian coffee. But I wanted to make a comment on the erasers and the teachers. And you know how many of you had the teachers that had fingernails and went across those chalkboards. But they don't use erasers or chalkboard anymore. Not at all in any of the schools. It is now what they call dry erase. It's a whiteboard. So, but they still have erasers. They could throw the erasers. But they're like markers, and they use smart boards. And that was going to be my only comment. You don't have to worry, Rick, anymore in school is rinsing out those erasers because they don't use chalk anymore. Back to you, Gordon, and thanks for allowing me to make my statement.
Well, I can sort of understand that, Kathy. You know, the way the world has turned since you and I were kids and the rest of us, you probably end up in court being a teacher chucking a projectile at one of the students. And there would go your career the way it is right now. Okay, guys and gals, the proper answer is Hawaii. The Hawaiian Islands, and Kona coffee. Think about this. I was born in Hilo, Hawaii, which is the big island, and on the other side of the island was the Kona area. My father was employed as managing the telephone company for Kona on the island, at least when I was hatched. And that was a big coffee area besides a tourist area also, I might add. And Kona coffee is just excellent. So we'll leave that at that. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. Lake Pontchartrain Causeway is the world's largest bridge. In what city and state is the bridge located? And how long is the bridge? I'll read that again. Lake Pontchartrain Causeway is the world's largest bridge. In what city and state is the bridge located? and how long is the bridge? Takers, please, from KY6B.
RMO, with a guess?
Well, as long as you got the script hidden. We want a guess from Stephanie, too. Go ahead, Gary, over.
Thank you, sir. And I've got the script completely minimized. I can't see... I can't see. Yes, yeah, she wants to see it, but I can't see the script. I'm only going to go for it if we go off the air. It's handy, you know, but it's not visible. So I would say Lake Pontchartrain. I remember this from the flooding from the hurricane, and I remember it causing problems. I guess it was overflowing into the canals and stuff. And that, of course, was New Orleans. But I'm not sure about how long that causeway is, but I suspect it's rather long. Now, I know that bridge that elevated stretch of highway that goes to the Keys is about 18 miles, if I remember correctly. And I'm going to say it's got to be pretty big. I'm going to say 10 miles. So New Orleans and 10 miles, that's my guess. Mrs. Agnew, what would you say?
I've never heard of it.
She's no longer Peg, by the way.
I've never heard of it before. So, I have no idea. I have not heard of this.
You know, you keep this up, I'm going to need a guest mic. Okay, so so I'm going to, Steph is going to pass, I guess. So, all right, so she'll be passing, and I'm going to say New Orleans and 10 miles, and we'll go with that one. This is KC2 RMO going back to the net.
Okay. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Stephanie. We got you recorded here. Let's see what the others say. Any other takers on this question? Lake Pontchartrain Causeway is the world's largest bridge. In what city and state is the bridge located, and how long is the bridge? Call in now, please.
VXP.
The mayor of Ohio. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I definitely agree. New Orleans, Louisiana. And I want to say it's closer to 24 miles. I know it's quite long. There was a trivia net one time before, and somebody came up with China as having one that was longer than 20 miles. But I think the record is definitely, I know it's just under 24 miles for the length.
All right. Thank you for that, Rick. Anybody else want to take a chance on this one? All right. Hearing nada, the answer is absolutely correct, Rick and Gary. It's New Orleans, Louisiana. Rick is right on. I don't know if he's Googling this as we go or not, but... he's absolutely correct. It's 24 miles long. I've been on it twice, and it's a pretty good ride. Gary, I would think that maybe what you're referring to, the longest bridge in the Florida Keys, is the 7-mile bridge, and that's between Marathon and the Southern Islands. Does that make any sense to you, Gary? Over.
I think that may be it, but and Steph had just mentioned that it may be the bridge that leads to the Keys. It's not really a bridge. It's more like I guess it's a bridge. You know, yeah, it's like an elevated stretch of highway that goes over the water, but it doesn't really look like a bridge. If that makes sense. But I read somewhere. It seems to me, I read somewhere that it was that was 18 miles, but I could be wrong on that too. But the vision that I have, or what I was thinking of in my mind, was that it's like a roadway that's elevated, and you're right out over the water leading to the Keys. It's KC2 RMO going back to the net.
Okay. Well, you know, you're awfully close on that, Gary. KY6V here for South Cars. You're talking the 18-mile stretch. When you come out of Miami, you go through a couple of burgs like Homestead, so on and so forth, and as you leave Homestead, you get on the 18-mile stretch. Now, this is really an island of itself. It's turf, it's ground, and the highway is built on that. And when you get off of this 18-mile stretch, you're in Key Largo, okay, which is the northern part of the Florida Keys, and then you travel down Highway 1 and you go over a number of bridges and this, that, and the other, and the longest of which is the 7-mile bridge. So, excuse me, but you are very close in your analogy. Over.
Well, not bad, just taking that one off the top of this little old head. Because I was fascinated by it. As a matter of fact, the last time we were in Florida, I had kind of hoped, you know, of course we didn't have enough time. We barely had enough time to say hello. I mean, that was it. But, you know, I had kind of hoped that I could, you know, that I wanted to see that. I wanted to go that far down and take that. Now, the thing is, Steph does not like bridges. She does not like bridges at all, you know. So that would have been... there would have been a degree of preparation involved in that. you'd be okay?
I
all right.
So, because it's flat.
Okay. Well, maybe it would have been all right, but I do know that normally if Steph is doing the driving, I am asked to take the car over the bridge. So that is one of my duties as co-pilot when she's driving. So but that's, yeah, I had read about it, you know. I remember checking it out at some point, and I remembered 18 stuck in my mind. So one of these days I'll be cruising down that way and checking out the view from up there on the elevated portion, and it would be all right with me. It's KC2RMO, back to you, sir.
Yeah, you know, you being an old musician, they wrote a song about cross over the bridge. Sometimes, Stephanie, you and Gary and I will have to talk about bridges. You know, I was, when we came from the Hawaiian Islands to California, we settled in San Francisco. And I eventually bought some property in Marin County, just north of San Francisco. And the difference between Marin County and San Francisco was the Golden Gate Bridge. Built in 1937. And during high commute hours, I often wondered when I was out in the middle of this bridge and it was swaying east and west because of the winds that were there, whether this dude was going to hold up. And it was something like 523 feet. I'm quoting something I don't remember, but above the water below. And the question in my mind, if this bridge broke and the car pivoted to the water level, should I enter the water with the car door windows open or closed? We'll talk about that sometime. Let me buy a nickel here. All right, we are currently at 8:31, so I'm going to rush on here with my next two questions, pass it to Kathy, see how she wants to handle this for her parley before we close tonight. The next question is, and this should be easy for some of you up there in the north, these lakes are the largest group of freshwater lakes in the world. They contain 6 quadrillion gallons of fresh water. 1/5 of the world's fresh surface water. What is the name and where are they located? Any takers on that? KY6V.
RMO.
Well, I don't know if you should know this, Gary. You're over in Syracuse, but I'll bet you Rick's got an answer, too. Rick, you want to take a parley on this? And RMO, standby.
The XP. actually living right around these lakes. I would say the Great Lakes. Actually, coming from I was born in Michigan, so I'm quite familiar with them.
Okay, we've got Michigan, Great Lakes, and so on and so forth. How about you, Gary? Over.
Well, certainly we are familiar with the Great Lakes here in Syracuse. Syracuse is only 35 to 40 miles from Lake Ontario, and a lot of the winter weather that we get comes from lake effect snow. So I'm going to say the answer to that question is the Great Lakes, but a lot of people don't know that there is also a lower-priced version of the Great Lakes. They have the Pretty Good Lakes, and for the really budget-conscious folks, there's the Adequate Lakes as well. So, of course, the Great Lakes all throughout the northern border of the eastern part of the United States, right from Wisconsin all the way to New York. So, and Steph knows the order.
The order?
The order. Superior.
Yeah, Michigan, Ontario, S-M-H-E-O.
Erie. Yeah. S-M-H-E-O. Superior, Michigan, Huron, Erie, and Ontario. So there's a little bit of Great Lakes info for you. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
All right, guys. Real good. Anybody else want to put anything in there like Acapulco, Mexico or something? All right, you're all right on. That was the answer, and totally go up to the center stage and take a bow. My last question, Kathy, so stand tall. The largest body of fresh water in the world is this lake. Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, Lake Ontario, or Lake... I've got Lake Ontario twice in this, I think. Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, or Lake Ontario. Okay. You Mission Ganders, let's hear from you. Over.
TXG.
RMO.
And VXP.
Okay, we got TXP, RMO, and VXP. Sarah, what a delight. Go ahead, m'lady. Over.
KC4TXG. Superior, my guess. Anyway, back to you, Gordon.
All right, Sarah, we've got you in for Superior. How about you, Mr. Syracuse?
Well, I'm going to say they don't call it Superior for nothing, so my vote's got Superior.
You know, one of these days you're going to tell me who writes your scripts, Gary. Over.
I'll never tell.
I bet he was somebody at broadcasting. VXP, go ahead, Rick.
And one VXP. I like Gary's scripts here. I definitely agree, Lake Superior, and I do remember hearing some comments at one point that it was also considered like an inland sea with all the quite severe weather that the lake does have.
All right, I'd like to say that, you know, you're all absolutely correct. Stephanie, do you want to challenge that at all? Over.
Too late to challenge. I'm tired. I'm going to say Superior.
So there was an inferior answer for Superior.
A superior answer for Superior. Hey, thanks, gang. Nice round. All right, Kathy, we are 37 minutes into the second hour, and it's your turf. K6SUN, KY6V for South Cars.
Well, thank you so much, Gordon. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. You know, I'm thinking, Gordon, this is probably a good place to stop for this session. We didn't get through as many as we did this last time, but it was a really good session, and I've enjoyed everybody's participation. One comment I have to say about Superior and all the lakes, born and raised, lived most of my life, 55 years in the state of Michigan, and Superior, just like what Rick is saying, it brought something to mind that I was actually supposed to schedule a net about the Edmund Fitzgerald, and so I'm going to check into that. But a lot of shipwrecks up there, a lot of cold water. Superior is in the area of the Sioux Locks, And, you know, so when you were talking about Superior, it's not only the largest body of water there in Michigan, it's the coldest, you know. If you dive in that water, you're liable to come up with severe headaches. But I think this is a good stopping point. I'm going to throw it back to you for a moment. We'll see if we got any final check-ins, but I think we're going to have to continue on with another month here. So, KY6B, what are your thoughts?
No, I think that's an excellent idea, Kathy. You know, I don't know about Lake Superior. I've never been in the waters up there, but back in 1969, I moved from California to the state of Wisconsin. And this happened on June the 1st of that year. And one of the first things that I did was I drove down to the shores of Lake Michigan, which were very close, obviously. Took off my shoes and waded in there, and I said, "No way." And I was out of San Francisco, and our water temperature is 50, 60 degrees there in the Bay of San Francisco. And I said, "I'll be darned if I'm going in that water." So, Kathy, why don't you see if there's any further comments, make any announcements you would like to make, Ms. Annette Manager, and close it for this evening. KY6V, go ahead, Kathy.
All right, Gordon, I want to thank you for joining me this evening to do another special session of the trivia, but I also want to thank everyone that was connected this evening and took part in it. It's always a great deal of fun. But don't forget, in the morning we have the Sunday morning rag chew, and actually it's going to be Mr. Jim doing it on interests, our personal interests. What do you like to do? Like to can? Now, Stephanie, that would be a good one for you to join. Like to sew? Do you like to listen to the radio? Swim? Boat? So that's what that session will be about. And next week we will be talking about Halloween. And we'll be talking about, let's see what next week is, EchoLink Configuration Part 3. Hopefully Gordon and I can complete the EchoLink configuration. So with that, let me throw it out there to anyone who would like to come aboard, make any final comments, or have any final check-ins this evening. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for some of those final check-ins.
TXG.
RMO.
And TXB.
Well, fantastic. One lady and two gentlemen. And actually, while I was listening to Gordon, I decided to turn on that probably that fateful last game of the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox. There is actually no score at this point. But, Miss Sarah, it's such a pleasure to have you this evening. I hope all is going well. And you, I know you probably have things to do tomorrow, but you like to can. And that's just something that Miss Stephanie, Gary's wife, has just taken up. And actually, I received some of her grape jelly the other day. Looking forward to having a taste of that. So how are things with you, Sarah? And what are your thoughts for as a final check-in this evening?
Well, thank you, Kathy. I do like to can. And would you believe this summer I've made some fig jam? Haven't made much jelly or jam, but I tried my luck on fig jam. And I was going to say, if you do the Great Lakes and do Annette on the Rex, I don't remember, but you might remember the old Gordon Lightfoot song, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. I can't remember which lake, but I know it's one of them, and I want to say Superior, but knowing me, I'm probably wrong. Everyone have a great weekend. This is KC4TXG.
All right, Miss Sarah, thanks for joining us this evening. And, you know, it was a little while back, Gary said that, you know, we really should do Annette on the Edmund Fitzgerald. And I think it was sort of slipped my mind when I was scheduling the Nets, but I may just have to reschedule some of that and maybe talk about some of those wrecks, because I remember sort of when that happened, and it's actually I'm not sure if it's a, I think it's a dive site up there now. I'll have to look up that information exactly when it happened. But you have a great evening. Once again, thanks for joining us this evening, and a great week ahead of you, and hopefully all is going well in your job as well. Mine has slightly changed a little bit, but it's still a teacher. So with that, I'll break with you, Sarah, and I'll pick up my backup, Mr. Gary. What are your final comments this evening? And maybe you can sort of come up with the date when the Edmund Fitzgerald went down. I think it must have been sometime in November. And I may have to rethink maybe some of those nets. So, Gary, please come back aboard.
Think back to the year 1975. In November, as a matter of fact, November 11th, 1975, was the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. With a load of iron ore 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty, that good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. And I have been so fascinated with that wreck, and I think everybody that remembers that song, there's certain fascination to that whole business of that ship going down, and the fact that they never really have determined the real cause of its sinking. It is a dive site now, Kath. It is a dive site, and I think they've made it like a national historic place, you know, that it has some sort of a status like that too. I would dearly love to do that net if we have the chance to do that. That would be just great. That is one of my favorite topics, and Steph can certainly attest to me singing the song around. And so it would be really great. So that would be super. But what a great net this has been. I love these trivia nets. They are so much fun. And it was great to have Steph along with us tonight too. I think that was awesome. And I do as long as I have my lovely wife here and I have the microphone, I want to tell everybody what a great job she did with her batch of jam or jelly. That was just awesome. So Sarah, if you want, just ask and we'll get the recipe to you. if you're doing jams too. But we really enjoyed it. So it's good stuff. So with that, I will say 73 to all, and this is KC2RMO going back to the next.
All right, thank you so much, Gary, and I hope that maybe you have a little time in the morning that you can join a net in the morning, and that we're always a great deal of fun as well. But I'm thinking maybe I may change my November fun net, which was going to be November the 3rd, and maybe put the Fitzgerald in there. That's a rag chew, so you'll have to let me know if you'll be available. So it sort of slipped my mind, but it's not too late to change. Because I don't believe anyone is scheduled for that just yet. So thank you once again, Gary, for being my backup, for all you do for us, and hopefully we'll talk to you again tomorrow. With that, Mr. VXP, your final comments.
This is N1 VXP. Just for those who may have forgotten, this is the weekend of the JOTA Jamboree on the Air. And I've been off and on listening on the conference star JOTA-365. I haven't really done any contacts, but it's been quite enjoyable listening to all the different countries that are involved. Quite a bit of fun just listening to all the different countries, like I say, with the scouts actually doing the contacts. So probably go back over and kind of listen on there for a while. N1GXP, back to net control.
All right, Rick, thanks for sharing that. During our nets today, and especially this morning, Mr. Scotland was talking about JOTA, and he gave the frequencies. And you also put something in the text box. So I think it's going on tomorrow as well. So if anyone is interested in listening to Jamboree on the Air, hopefully you'll join in on that. But I do want to thank everyone for joining us for our trivia session this evening. It was a lot of fun. Gordon, I want to thank you for riding along with me and helping me out as well. And Gary, I want to thank you for being our backup. But, you know, this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on our website, www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been Tucson, KY6B Gordon, and Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Kathy's my name, saying 73 and closing this VOIP session. Thank you, everyone, for your participation and your comments and the fun we had this evening. The net is now closed and return to regular amateur use. Everyone have a great evening. Hope to see you in the morning. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November along with KY6B saying bye-bye for now.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another in our series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.